Today on Vox Talks Economics, multi-issuer stablecoins are threatening financial security. Welcome to another of our special episodes recorded at the CEPR Annual Symposium in Paris. My name is Tim Phillips. Stablecoins are digital tokens pegged to a fiat currency. Well, what could possibly go wrong? For one type of stablecoin, the answer is plenty, according to Richard Portes. He is founder and honorary president of CEPR, a professor at London Business School, and very relevantly to the conversation that we had in Paris, he is co-chair of the European Systemic Risk Board Crypto Asset Task Force. As you will hear, he has a strong warning for European regulators about a loophole in crypto asset regulation. So Richard, welcome. Great to speak to you again.
It's very good to see you, Tim, and I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Okay, so this is the first time, believe it or not, on Vox Talks that we have covered stablecoins. So you better tell me what they are and what problem they solve.
A little background. Stablecoins were created by some very clever people, some of them still very much there, who realized this was a terrific business model. You take people's money, you give them a token, and they can use that token in various ways on the blockchain and the crypto system, and you don't pay them any interest, and you get the interest from the sovereign bonds or whatever it is that you buy as reserves to back their deposits, in effect, okay? Wonderful. You get 4%, they get nothing, and this, as I say, is insanely profitable.
And the difference between them and many crypto assets is that they're considered to be safer?
They are considered to be safer. They are certainly safer than the so-called native coins, like Bitcoin, for example. Mm-hmm. And they explicitly aim to avoid fluctuations in value because they're supposed to be stable, almost all pegged to the dollar. And that is not exactly correct, however, in practice, because the values do fluctuate somewhat, even day to day, and occasionally there's a crash. Why do people want stablecoins?
Well, I suppose, yes, we better say that
first. Why do people want stablecoins in the first place, given that they're not getting any interest paid on them?
When they could just have the money that they paid for stablecoins.
In bank deposits, okay? Or securities or whatever. And the answer is that they're easy to move around on the digital blockchain.
Uh-huh.
And they are not easily followable on the digital blockchain.
Uh-huh.
So that a significant amount of the transactions are doubtless used for illegal purposes, whether it be sanctions evasion, capital flow restrictions evasion, whatever. And otherwise, they are used mainly within, right now, still within the crypto universe.
Yep.
As instruments to purchase things.
Now, we are talking about this particular flavor of stablecoins, multi-issuer stablecoins. What are they? Why are they different?
Now you're going into the specialized realm of stablecoins.
Uh-huh.
This is a clever idea that was pioneered by Circle, which is one of the two major stablecoin issuers. They have some very smart people, and they had the idea of having a stablecoin that had two branches to it. One, a US-based stablecoin. The other, its twin in Europe. And the idea is that these are really two aspects of the same thing. They are fungible in the sense that a holder of the US-based stablecoin could redeem, if desired, his or her deposit for the stablecoin in Europe through the European branch of the stablecoin. The European branch of the stablecoin denominated in dollars, like the American branch, and in principle with a common reserve pool backing the stablecoin. But in practice, that's not true. It's not a common reserve pool. It's two separate reserve pools, one in Europe, one in the U.S. And there's where the problem lies.
On the 4th of August 2025, the SEC launched Project Crypto, its aim to make of the U.S. the crypto capital of the world. At the time, we spoke to Michael Weber of Purdue about his research into what crypto investors actually believe and their attitude to risk. Find out what he discovered by listening to our episode, In Coin We Trust. And while you're there, why not subscribe and rate us as well? It's only two clicks.
Stablecoins, they are in Europe regulated, aren't they? There's, what's this called? The Markets in Crypto Assets Regulation.
MiCAR.
Yeah. That does set out regulation for EU stablecoins.
Yes. Yes, it does. And you could have, without any particular problem, you could have a multi-issuance stablecoin within the EU. You could have a stablecoin that had one branch in France and another branch in Germany, for example.
Okay? Uh-huh. And that would come under the same regulatory umbrella.
Same regulatory umbrella, and therefore the same regime, if you like, for the reserves.
Uh-huh. Okay?
Whereas Circle's construct, which was first approved by the French authorities, has two separate branches in the sense of the reserves backing the stablecoin are partly held in the U.S. for those who take out the U.S. version of the stablecoin, and partly held in Europe for those who take out the European version of the stablecoin. But there are many more in the U.S. holding this stablecoin than there are in Europe. It's the same stablecoin, uh-huh. Two branches of the same stablecoin, but the reserves backing them are separate. And so the reserve pool backing the Circle stablecoin in Europe is much smaller than the reserve pool backing the branch of the Circle stablecoin that is domiciled, if you like, in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that seems reasonable, doesn't it? Except when there's a problem, when there might be a run,
yeah,
a crisis of confidence in the stablecoin. Then what? Well, the U.S. holders of the U.S. branch of the stablecoin, seeing that there is no redemption fee in Europe, that's part of MiCAR, there's no delay in redemption. It has to be immediate settlement in Europe, that's part of MiCAR.
Uh-huh.
The U.S. holders, if they're concerned that there's a run and they might not be able to get their money out, they might first, and quite likely would first, address themselves to the European branch and claim their money from the European reserves.
Because the regulatory environment in Europe says they have a right to their money.
Indeed. And it's more favorable to them than the regulatory environment in the U.S. Well, the trouble is that there wouldn't be the volume of reserves held in Europe to meet such redemption requests, because the volume of reserves held in Europe is only there to deal with the European holders of this multi-issuance stablecoin. Whoops.
Who pays up?
Well, you might say Circle is obligated to provide the money from its U.S.-based reserves. But what if the U.S. authorities say, no, you cannot transfer funds from the U.S. to Europe to redeem these stablecoins? This would not be an unusual event. We have seen several times, in particular in financial crises, that regulatory authorities have blocked cross-border transfers mm-hmm. of funds. We've seen it in Europe. We saw it in 2008 when UniCredit, in the financial crisis, wanted to transfer funds from its liquidity, from its German branch to Italy. The German authorities said no, despite the fact that in Europe there is supposed to be no capital controls, no barriers to the flow of funds across borders. Whoops, sorry, the German authorities said no, and that was that. Same thing happened in the spring of 2020, the COVID crisis, when some banks wanted to transfer money from subsidiaries, in particular in Eastern Europe, to the home branches, And the East European authorities, the national authorities, said, no, you can't transfer those funds, despite, as I say, legally, they were bound to allow those transfers. But the law is the law, and the authorities did what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So you could very well see, especially in the current international environment, the U.S. authorities saying, no, you can't transfer funds from the U.S. to Europe to redeem demands on the European branch of the stablecoin.
We assume that we're in the foothills of the story of stablecoins now. There's going to be more, probably, and they will probably be more multi-issuer stablecoins.
If they are ultimately authorized by the European authorities, yes, I think you can expect to see more of this going on.
Does that create a financial stability risk?
I think from the beginning, they create a financial stability risk. But the question is whether the European authorities will ultimately say, this is consistent with MiCAR. There is no provision, no explicit provision in the markets and crypto assets regulation for these multi-issuer stablecoins. The French authorities authorized, off their own bat, authorized the Circle construct and issuance here, not just in France, but once authorized by France, they can be issued anywhere in the European Union. That is now being challenged, or has been challenged, and there are indications, shall we say, that despite the views of the European Commission, I'll come back to that in a moment, despite the view of the Commission's services, that is to say, the officials in the European Commission, that the Commissioner may now be disposed to ban these multi-issuer stablecoins. The Commission services, the FSMA, so-called, I forget what these acronyms, I forget. It's the brand, it's the department of the European Commission that deals with financial services, financial sector, okay? FSMA has tried to uphold the multi-issuer model against opposition, not just from the European Systemic Risk Board, the institution in which I work on these things, but also from some important members of the European Parliament who have protested against this rather dangerous construct, and also from the president of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, who has been on this case, as it were, for several months now. And it was a conversation with her at the end of June, beginning of July, that prompted me to write a piece for the Financial Times about this. And Christine Lagarde is, as I say, very much opposed to these multi-issuer stablecoins. She thinks they're a systemic financial risk, and so do I.
Given that it is a systemic financial risk there and that people who really know and really care about this object to it, why would anyone at the moment want to uphold this before we update the regulation?
Excuse me? You ever heard of lobbying?
Who is lobbying?
Well,
actually?
Circle is lobbying.
Yeah.
As I say, this is an insanely profitable sector. Circle, Tether, and others who have issued stable coins that are taken up in volume, they make a hell of a lot of money. You take other people's money, you don't pay them interest, and even if you do put it all into government bonds, right, you're still incredibly profitable. And you can do this with a very small infrastructure of employees. So the rate of profit, as it were, in that sector is remarkable. And so they have a lot of money to lobby. And the crypto industry in general, but Circle and Tether and others in this stablecoin game in particular, lobbied very heavily and very successfully in the November 2024 elections in the United States. And they got what they were wanting, a regime. And I think I can call it a regime rather than an administration that is very friendly to the crypto sector, that has appointed crypto people all over the place in the Securities and Exchange Commission and all the relevant regulatory authorities and so forth. And Congress passed the so-called Genius Act. Again, take this, the acronym. I certainly won't remember what that means. The Genius Act, which was passed in July of this year, gave a regulatory framework for stablecoins, which was extremely favorable to the sector, to the industry. And that was the result, in good part, of very heavy lobbying by the crypto sector with members of Congress, whose campaigns, in many cases, they had supported rather lavishly in the autumn of 2024. And you can read about all that in my chapter in the CEPR book on the Trump Administration Economic Policy, second edition, in which I go through the way in which the Trump administration has dealt with these matters.
In Europe, then, how do we plug this hole? Because you can update regulation, but if the European regulator updates its regulation, the only way that we could fix this problem, surely, is to say you can't issue these stablecoins.
That is what we, the European Systemic Risk Board, in this case, that is what we have recommended, that they be banned.
Uh-huh.
And if they are not banned, that we've set out a whole set of recommendations that, if followed, would make it very difficult, if not impossible, to issue these things. But so far, the Commission was deeply opposed to any attempt to modify the Markets in Crypto Assets Regulation, MiCAR, before the statutory review period had been gone through and various da-da-da-da, which would delay everything for several years. All of a sudden, it seems that MiCAR may be modifiable. The commissioner behind closed doors, Commissioner Albuquerque, has expressed some concerns, and she may actually wish to proceed with, if not modifying MiCAR, then making some explicit statements that express the commission's opposition to, in particular, the multi-issuance stablecoins.
It appears now that innovation in this area runs faster than regulation. That's not going to change. What is the worst case scenario?
I think there is a risk to financial stability, not just in the multi-issuance stablecoins, but in stablecoins more broadly. These are bearer instruments that are supposedly backed by sufficient reserves that are liquid, easily realizable to meet the demands of investors. This is all false. The U.S. Genius Act allows, as an admissible reserve asset, shares in money market funds. Excuse me? Cashing a share in a money market fund cannot be done overnight, cannot be done on the same day. Take several days, okay? And if you've got a bank run, which is effectively what we're talking about here, a run on the stablecoin is like a bank run, right? The stablecoin is pegged to the dollar. It's either a bank run or it's a run on an exchange rate. I mean, it's the same phenomenon. And the question is, can you meet the run immediately, which will stop the run? If you can meet the run without any doubts, without any questions, then expectations will change and the run will stop. But if you can't meet the run right away, then everybody wants to get their money out first, and then the thing crashes. Does that communicate to the rest of the financial system? If there is a crash of a major stablecoin, Circle or Tether in particular are the big ones, what consequences would it have more broadly in the financial sector? I'll leave that up in the air.
Let's hope that when we return to this, we're not returning to it as in what just happened. Richard, thank you very much for talking about it. Thank you very much for warning us about it.
Thank you very much for having me, Tim. Pleasure.
Richard's Vox EU article is called Multi-Issuer Stablecoins, a Threat to Financial Stability. And note, there is no question mark at the end of that title.
Vox Talks Economics is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Next time on Vox Talks Economics, 1 year on, the Trump effect on global trade.